Assalamu alaikum. If there is any sisters upstairs. So, inshallah, this program, as you know, is about especially about Rabiul Awwal. And the reason I always come at this time is that for some reason, every 12th of Rabiul Awwal, I get a naat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I write it and I present it to you. So exactly on 12th it happens. It doesn't happen on 11th, it doesn't happen on 10th, it always happens on 12th. So this is what I presented, but the thing is that because I write in Urdu, so I will a little bit explain you in English the gist of the naat, but inshallah I will read it in Urdu. But before I go further, I wanted brother Abdul Manan, will you be able to read some tilawa? You know, Abdul, there is any? No, it's okay. Malan is not. Brother Abu Bakr, anybody can come. It's not that. Yes, please.
I don't come forward. Reading the Prophet and his guest side is too fancy for the Sunnah of the Quran. Go ahead, sir.
Sit down, you like to stand, but you don't like.
He's a student, so we have to dial up.
Yes. His name is Ibrahim, mashallah. Go ahead.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
جزاك الله خير. إن شاء الله I'll read my naat, so may Allah accept it. جب مدینے کی ہوا ہو کے حرم آتی ہے میرے اعصاب میں ایک انقلاب لاتی ہے. پھوٹتی ہیں نئی شاخیں میرے ارادوں میں پھوٹتی ہیں نئی شاخیں میرے ارادوں میں غرور نفس میں کچھ اور کمی آتی ہے میں تیرے موتیوں سے دانت فلک پر دیکھوں یہ سب یہ شب ستاروں بھری والضحیٰ سجاتی ہے تیرے اخلاق کی چادر ہے صاحباں کی طرح اس کی نصرت ہمیں ہر گام پہ جگاتی ہے یہ ذرا شعر قابل غور ہے کہ رات خاموشی میں سنتے ہیں جب صدائے دل رات خاموشی میں سنتے ہیں جب صدائے دل تیرے غلاموں کو کلمے کی صدا آتی، تیرے غلاموں کو کلمے کی صدا آتی ہے، اور اب تو اغیار میں بونچال ہے تیرا پیغام، اب تو اغیار میں بونچال ہے تیرا پیغام، اب کلیساؤں میں آزان کی صدا آتی، اب کلیساؤں میں آزان کی صدا آتی ہے، اور تیرے نالین کا صدقہ ہے، تیرے نالین کا صدقہ ہے کہ مجھ عابد کو، تیرے نالین کا صدقہ ہے کہ مجھ عابد کو میم کے پردے میں رحمت کی ہوا آتی ہے، میم کے پردے میں رحمت کی ہوا آتی ہے. مائی ڈیئر برادرز، دی نعت از بیسیکلی دی ڈیفینیشن اینڈ دی اپریسیشن آف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. And the biggest thing that I have said here is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, teeth were very shiny, as everybody knows, and it looks like if you see the dark night and there are stars, it looks like the teeth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And those, that night is so happy to bring those like teeth that it brings wadduha. Wadduha is the chehra, is the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that that night is bringing wadduha, it is a source of bringing wadduha to us, and which is for all of us, it is a wadduha. So alhamdulillah, that was my gist of all my naat. Actually it is just my love, and it is everybody's love to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because atiullah atiur rasul, if we don't obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we cannot reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that has been always a source and a link of us with Rasul, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the basic meaning of all my naat. Jazakallah khair. Now I will inshallah invite brother Mufti Shakib Nawabi sahab, and you have already heard him in Jummah khutbah. I was not here, so I missed him. Inshallah I will get benefit right now, and Maulana has already mentioned many many qualities about our scholar. May Allah bless him and may Allah accept him. Jazakallah.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال ايضا يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من خاف أدلج ومن أدلج بلغ المنزل ألا إن سلعة الله غالية ألا إن سلعة الله الجنة أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected brothers and sisters and mashayikh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this life, and this life that has been given to us is to prepare ourselves for the life hereafter. This is the maqsad for us being in this dunya, that we prepare ourselves for the life which is never ending, and that is akhirah. إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that this dunya has been created for you, and you have been created for akhirah. Allah is al-awwal and Allah is al-akhir. Allah was the first and Allah will be the last. Allah is azal, Allah is forever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this insan also azali. This human being will also be forever. Either this human being will be in paradise or in hellfire.
But this human being will never finish. Once human being came into existence, this person will be forever. The sifat of Allah, azali, Allah made to the human being also. Like Allah is forever, human being will be forever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us in this dunya for a very short time. And in that short time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do certain deeds which will help us to be successful in the life which is coming forever and forever and forever, never ending. This is what Allah has sent us in this dunya. That's what the hadith I said, man khaf adlaj, wa man adlaj balag al manzil. Whoever knows, whether male or female, if they know their destination is very far, or very dangerous, or very difficult, man khaf adlaj, whoever has this fear that what will happen in his journey, far, dangerous, wa man adlaj, and a person leaves early for his journey, for his destination, he leaves prepared. He takes all the things he needs on that path. Balagh al-manzil. He will reach his destination. Ala inna sil'ata Allah ghaliya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the merchandise of Allah is very expensive. The merchandise of Allah is very expensive. And the merchandise of Allah is al-jannah. Paradise. You think paradise is that easy? We think it's that easy. It's not that easy. For to get paradise, you should leave early. You should prepare yourself. This is what Allah gave you, this life. This one life. Like Maulana Sahib was saying, may Allah give him long life. He was saying about the La ilaha illallah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered all the souls from the time of Adam alayhi salam till the day of judgment, all mankind that will be coming to this world, those who has come, who had come, and those who will come, Allah gathered all the arwah, all the souls, and Allah put forth one question in front of them. Alastu bi rabbikum. Allah didn't say, man rabbuka. The question wasn't, who is your Rabb? It was told, Alastu bi Rabbikum. Am I not your Rabb? Am I not your sustainer? Am I not your nourisher? Allah made the question very easy. Because all the souls at that point, we were all sustained with unseen nizam of Allah. With unseen system of Allah, we were all sustained. So we all said at once, Qalu bala. Oh Allah, yes, you are our Rabb, you are our Creator. All of us said at once. Now we are sitting here, obviously this ayat of Quran, we all know the first question in the grave is, Man Rabbuka? Who's your Rabb? Alam arwah, Man Rabb, Alastu bi Rabbikum? In the grave, Man Rabbuka? Who's your Rabb? If you think, in our beginning, we were introduced to our Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the question that will be asked in the grave is, Man Rabbuka, who's your Rabb? What does that mean? That this life that we have been given, this time period, is to know who is Rabb? Who is Allah? Who is our Creator? Who sustains us? Who protects us? Who nourishes us? This is the time to know who Allah is, who our Rabb is. That's over here. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. Man mata wa huwa ya'lam annahu la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever dies in such a state that he or she knows none is worthy of worship except Allah, Allah will make him enter paradise. In other hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man mata wa huwa ya'lam anna Allah haq dakhala jannah. Whoever dies in such a state that he or she knows Allah is Haqq, he will enter paradise. Knowing Allah, if we know Allah, then we will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The biggest need for us is to have the ma'rifat of Allah, to know who Allah is. What is ma'rifat of Allah? One is doing what Allah, because even the people of the book, ya'rifun, they knew, they had the ma'rifat of Allah, they knew Allah, they knew the Prophet, they knew Kitabullah, they knew everything, that like they knew their children, they had the ma'rifat. One is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other thing is to live your life according to the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is to die for Allah, one is Allah ka bankar, Allah ki limar. It's two different things. To become of Allah, to know who Allah is, to know who our Creator is, we need to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fa'lam annahu la ilaha illallah. We have to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you know Allah, it will become very easier for you to obey Allah. You're driving 1 a.m. at night on one of these streets, and you come across red light. What does your mind tell you? Stop, right? The red light makes you stop. Do you think there is cops sitting in every intersection in this city? I don't think so. I don't think there's enough cops for every intersection. And there is maybe more than 95% chance there is no cop there at all. What makes you stop at the red light? You think you love to stop at the red light? Or people? I mean, really, I don't think anybody loves to stop. It's the law. Whether you like it or not, you have to stop. If you don't stop, there is a chance there might be a cop waiting just for you. Would give you a citation. You'll get some points against you in DMV. Insurance go up, pay the fine, right? Because of that fear, automatically your mind sends you a signal to your foot. Hit the brake. Stop. It's red light. Because we know the punishment, or we know the side effects of not stopping at the red light, we stop. If we know who Allah is, wallahi billahi tallahi, we will never disobey Allah even for the blink of an eye. If we know who Allah is, we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we don't know who Allah is. We need to know who Allah is, how to get the ma'rifat of Allah. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Dhatul Riqa', in the barrel of one of the expeditions that the Prophet ﷺ and Sahaba, they were traveling, and then at one point, you know, they were like traveling in the desert. And remember, in the desert, there's no big trees. So this not small like bushes, you know, like little bushes, you know, and bushes are scattered everywhere. So the Prophet ﷺ told all the Sahaba, because they were big jama'ah, big congregation of them, so everybody should go find some tree or some bush and take a nap under it, because some shade, they couldn't fit under one shade. So everybody got scattered. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also slept under the shade of a tree, a bush, and he hung his sword there. So one Arabi, one Bedouin, he was passing by, and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the Sahaba sleeping, and he saw him unguarded, nobody's guarding him, and he's in by himself, he's asleep. So he took the sword of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he put it to the neck of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He put his sword to his neck. And he woke up the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He woke up the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked, "O Muhammad, man yamna'uka minni?" Told him, "Muhammad, tell me, who can defend you against me now?" He put the sword to his neck, to the neck of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Now who is going to save you from me?" Without any hesitation, without any pause, he said, "Allah, The meaning is that Allah, the sword fell from the hand of this Bedouin. And then the Prophet ﷺ picked it up and put it to his neck. So now who's going to save you from me? He said, you know, he asked for getting spared. The Prophet ﷺ let him go. Did not do nothing to him. He went back to his tribe. And he told his people, I have come back to you from the best of mankind. He didn't force him to become Muslim. Now some people, Hollywood and stuff, they try to make movies that Islam is spread by force. This is just Hollywood idea. Islam never spread by force. Never. Never ever. Actually, one of the Russian states, when the Muslims went there, they did not give them time. They didn't accept Islam, so they took over the city, the whole area. And after 10 years, the people who were living there, they found out that Muslims have a law that they first give invitation toward Islam. If they don't accept Islam, then they are told, okay, give us tax so you can protect your area, so nobody does any oppression on anyone. If they don't accept that, then it's okay, you know what? We have to save people from going to hellfire. We have to go and preach Islam. If they come, if you come between us and them, we will have to remove you. Like a fire truck going to put a fire in one of the buildings, right? If five people block the fire truck, no, we won't let you go. And there's 200 people burning in the building. What's gonna fire? The fire truck is gonna do? It's gonna run them over. You run over five to save 200. Similarly, Muslims, when they went to these places, they said, you know, if you don't accept, then let us take Islam to these people. So actually, they did not give these three choices to them, and they took over this area. So after 10 years, the people, they sent letter to Amir al-Mu'mineen. They said, you know, your Muslims came and did not give us choice. So then the Amir al-Mu'mineen sent a letter to them that all the Muslims should evacuate that city, that place, and then again invite them. So actually when the letter came, all the Muslims left. Qutaybah bin Muslim Bani radiallahu anhu. They all left, and then they give them invitation, and the entire city became Muslim after that. So the point is, Islam never spread by force. Islam spread with love. People saw, like Muhammad bin Qasim, the entire Indian subcontinent became Muslim because of him, because of his treatment of people. So what I want to say to the brothers, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the name of Allah without any hesitation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam, who removed the sword from the hand of this kafir. If we know Allah, Allah will come to our help like Allah came to the help of the Sahaba. Allah helped them out also. If we know who Allah is, the example of this was given by one sheikh. He said there was five friends. These five friends, they all had different skills. One of them, he could understand the language of animals. One of them, if you put his ears to the ground, he can find out exactly where is the treasure. The third, he was so good, he could break any vault. The fourth, he could put the rope in the proper place to climb anything. And the fifth guy, you know, he had a special quality that he says whoever he sees at night, he can recognize during the daytime. So the king of that time, because they were pious kings, you know, usually they have no badges, IDs, you know, to show I'm president, so and so. So the president of that time was like, you know, walking around to find out if anybody was in need. So he came upon these five thieves, and these five thieves, they were actually making mashura. They were consulting each other how to rob the palace. How to rob the palace. So the king of his guard also, and you know, he was standing amongst them also. So each one said, I have this honor, I have this honor, I have this skill, this skill, this skill. They looked at this guy, who are you? He said, oh, I'm amongst you guys. Now the king was alone. Had he shown these a king, they might have killed him also. He said, no. He said, let me just find out who these people are and where they live. So the next day I'll send my military guys to capture all of them. So he said, okay, I have this skill. I can know the animal, the language of animals. I can find out where the treasure is. I can go climb any mineral, anything like that, and I can bring anything. So each said their qualities. They asked the king, what do you have? You want to be part of us, right? So yeah. What kind of skill do you have? He says, you know what? My beard has such an effect in my beard that if I shake my beard, you know, if somebody's dying, you will become alive. You know? I mean, a death sentence can be overturned and the person can survive. They said, wow, this is what we need. Because in case we get caught, we need this honor, this skill of yours to save ourselves. Anyways, they all go, they rob the bank. I mean, not the bank, the palace. They rob the palace, distribute the money, they go to their places, the king knew exactly where everybody lives. So the next day he catches all of them. I'll make the story short. Catches all of them, brings them in front. Now it was night time. Before they went to the palace, the guy who understood the language of animals, he heard a dog bark. And the dog was saying, so the people asked him, what does the dog say? Oh, the dog is saying the king is with you. They said, how can the king be with us? This is too dark and this is one with the king. But the dog kept barking. And this guy said, you know, this dog keeps saying that king is with you. So then the alim who wrote this story, he was saying that when a person intoxicated with the mind of worldly things, even if haq comes in front of him, the truth comes, he will not pay attention to the truth because he's intoxicated of this dunya. So anyways, the king brings all of them and he gives death sentence to all of them. Because you know, you robbed the palace. So whilst they were shivering and they were saying they are going to get beheaded or whatever, they're going to kill. So one of the five guys, you know, who had the quality of recognizing somebody during the day, if he had seen at night, he kept looking at this king and said, you know what? This king looked very familiar. He says, oh yeah, he's that sixth guy. He was the sixth guy with us. So he tells him, look, this guy is the same guy who said his beard has special, you know, effect, that if he shakes his beard, death sentence could be turned into life sentence or something, you know, will be relieved. So now they got some hope and they said, oh king, every one of us did our job. We fulfilled our job. We are just waiting for the movement of your beard now. Obviously the king smiled and he let them all go. This is not for the sake of story actually. The story here is the biggest honor, the biggest skill was of the fifth guy. The fifth guy. If he had seen someone in darkness, he would recognize during the day. If we recognize Allah here in the darkness of this dunya, if we recognize Allah here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forget us on the day of judgment. Allah will not forget us over there. But if you forget Allah here, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. Wallahi, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to know who Allah is. How powerful is Allah? وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا وَمَا هِيَ إِلَّا ذِكْرَى لِلْبَشَرِ يعلم ما يلج في الأرض وما يخرج منها وما ينزل من السماء وما يعرج فيها. Allah knows what goes in the earth, what comes out of the earth, what goes in the sky, what comes down from the sky. Allah has all this in His ilm. Allah has all in His knowledge. Every single thing. وعنده مفاتيح الغيب لا يعلمها إلا ويعلم ما في البر والبحر وما تسقط من ورقة إلا يعلمها ولا حبة في ظلمات الأرض ولا رب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين. Allah knows what's on the dry land, what's on the wet leg. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows every leaf that falls from the tree, whether it's Amazon forest or any tree, Allah knows each and every leaf that falls from the tree. Allah has the ilm. Allah knows the seeds, whether soft or hard, that goes in the earth, Allah knows that. One Sahabi, he was praying. In his prayer, he was making this dua. He was making dua. And he was speaking about the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was speaking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was saying, Allahumma, ya man la tarahu al-uyun, wa la tukhalituhu al-zunun, wa la yasifuhu al-wasifun, ولا تغير الحوادث ولا يخشى الدوائر يعلم مثاقيل الجبال ومكائيل البحار وعدد قطر الامطار وعدد ورق الاشجار وعدد ما اظلم عليه الليل واشرق عليه النهار ولا تواري منه سماء سماء ولا ارض ارضا ولا بحر ما في قعره ولا جبل ما في وعره اللهم اجعل خير عمري اخره وخير عملي خواتمه وخير الايام يوم القاك فيه. He was saying, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was listening to his dua. So, oh Allah, you are that being, Ya man la tarahu al-uyun, oh Allah, you are that being that no eyes have seen you. And how great you are, that greatness has not crossed the heart of any mankind. Oh Allah, you are that being, that zat, that no time, no age, nothing can affect you. Oh Allah, you know the weight of the mountains, you know the volume of the water in the oceans. Oh Allah, you know what's in the cracks of the mountains, what's in the floor of the oceans. Oh Allah, no sky can hide from you what's in other sky. No earth can hide what's in other earth. Allah, you know everything in the darkness. Oh Allah, you know everything in the light. Allah is Allah. Laysa kamithlihi shay. None is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How did Allah's greatness come in our heart? If I ask all of us sitting here, who's your Rabb? Who's your Lord? What you know what you'll do? You will think and answer, my Rabb is Allah. Right? Every child will say that. If you ask somebody who's teaching Islamic studies in the university, you say, okay, according to you, the Rabb is Allah. You know, this is all here. This information here. When you go to grave, you will not answer what's in your brain. It's what's in your heart. It's not وَحُسَّلَ مَا فِي الْأُقُولِ وَحُسَّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. What's in your heart? مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلِ مِنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ. Allah has not given a man two hearts. What's in your heart? إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةٍ إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. There is a piece of flesh in your human body. If that is correct, the whole body will function good. If you have the greatness of Allah in your heart, then everything will become okay. If that is not okay, I had actually somebody praying behind me when I was imam in one place. He had a heart transplant. You might say, oh, he has no heart. They actually gave me, a brother from Palestine actually, he had heart, he was heart transplant. They took somebody else's heart, put there. We're not talking about this physical heart that is there. There is a heart inside your heart. This is where your yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be there. Believing that Allah is my protector. Allah is my nourisher. Allah is feeding all the creation. Allah is feeding every single one. All the creation is fed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single thing. Allah does not forget anyone. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. Any animal that's walking on the earth. إِلَّا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. His risk is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives it to everyone. Allah protects, Allah gives. Allah gives honor, Allah gives disgrace. When Allah comes to protection, Allah protected Musa alayhi salam in the house of a person who killed more than 60,000 children. just to kill him. And Allah protected him in front of him while knowing this is Musa. Not like he didn't know. He knew this is Musa. And Allah protected him in that place. Allah is Allah. When Allah comes to them to give honor and izzah and zillah, Allah Ta'ala lifted Yusuf alayhi salam from the bottom of the well and put him on the throne. And Allah took Fir'aun from the throne and drowned him in the water. Allah is Allah. Whatever Allah wants, Allah does. Allah does not make mashura. So we need to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to know who Allah is. And we need to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each one of us. And this was every sahabi understood who Allah is. They knew la ilaha illallah. Now the way to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only way is to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only way to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you don't follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will never even smell paradise. If you don't follow the sunnah, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ulama and rival, they give example. See, for food to go in the mouth, in the stomach, Allah made mouth. You take the food, put in your mouth. It will go in the stomach. But if you take the food and put in your ears, there's a hole here also, let me put it here. Or put it in your nose. There are holes. True. But the food is not going to go in your stomach. Any amal, any action of yours and mine to be accepted, the only way is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No other way. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. If any one of you claims to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they must follow you. If they follow you, then I will love them. We say we love Allah. Right? I'm sure all of us sitting here, we know we love Allah. Right? All of us love Allah. How do I know and you know that this person loves Allah like this brother? How does he know? Do you have a thermometer? Like, you know, first of all, the question comes, does he love Allah or no? Number one, right? Number two is, how much love? Is it 5% or 100%? These two things we don't know, right? By looking at this brother. Or put every one of them. How do you know I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The only and only and only way to know how much this person loves Allah, if he is in the measurement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The more he follows sunnah, you should know he's following, he's loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he contradicts Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that love is just the love of the tongue. It's not the love of the heart. Those brothers who have faced or felt love sometime, right? When you love someone, how do you feel about that person? When you love someone, a human being, whether a man loving a woman or a woman loving a man, you know, you would always want to do whatever that person you love wants. Oh, this person likes this color, let me try to wear that color. Oh, this person likes this particular food, let me try to get that food, right? You try to please that, you know, that person, because you love. When you love Allah, Allah is saying, you love me, okay, you love me, then follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you follow him, then I will love you. If you don't follow him, where is the love of Allah? How do you get there? وَإِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. If you follow him, then I will give you hidayah. I will give you guidance. It does not come free. We have to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't take it lightly. Don't take sunnah lightly. No, just sunnah. When you make this kind of sarcastic remark, just sunnah, a person becomes kafir. We don't say that. If you can't practice, say, oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, give me tawfiq. Oh Allah, make me your obedient. Don't justify your mistake as deen. We're in this month of Rabi'ul Awwal, as mashallah, Brother Maqbool, right, mentioned. This is the month of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the biggest thing? What should become? I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was the maqsad of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What was his purpose? لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. The biggest ihsan that Allah did upon us, Allah sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst us. What did he do? يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. He recited the verse of Allah upon us. Obey Allah like this. He purified us from all the shirk and bid'ah and all those things into tawheed. And then he taught us the book of Allah. He taught us the sunnah. We as Muslim, we look. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the way. We follow that path. Unfortunately, we have inferiority complex. We feel inferior sometimes. Sunnah, how can I? No! You should feel proud. Allah has given the deen. Allah has given the sunnah. Wallahi! Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be more worth in your life. We should love the sunnah, not because we have to. You should love the sunnah. It's called usul al-fiqh, usul al-deen. Usul is when you love something. Qanun, laws, you don't love, you have to do it. We have to learn the usul. We have to learn to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by following him. Allah has given us, we have the best thing. You know, I'll just give an example. Two friends, they were traveling. Actually, two people traveling in from different directions. Back in the times, people had like from villages street going out. So two people, they're traveling. One was traveling from, you know, San Diego. One was traveling from, you know, Phoenix. They were trying to meet somewhere in Los Angeles. So they met on one of the intersections. And obviously when you travel alone, it's more, you know, fear and stuff like that. They said, why don't we accompany each other? We accompany each other so we can look for each other's back and help each other in case something happens. We travel together. They said, okay. So as they were traveling, they were having a conversation. The one guy asked the other guy, you know, where are you headed? He says, I'm going to Los Angeles. The other guy says, I'm going to Los Angeles also. He says, okay. He asked the other guy, okay, why are you going to Los Angeles? He says, oh, my sister lives there. I want to go visit my sister. So the first guy asked the second guy, okay, then why are you going there? He says, oh, I have a very valuable diamond in my pocket. I have a very valuable diamond in my pocket. I want to go sell this. In Los Angeles, I'll get a lot of money for it. So the first guy said, oh, he's like, you know, wow, man, this guy has diamond in his heart. But he didn't show it, you know. So, you know. So this guy has a diamond. So now, obviously, his intention changed. He's only thinking, how is he going to rip this guy off? Obviously, the journey is far. So as they're traveling, so at night time, the guy wakes up and checks his pocket. No diamond. Next day, they're traveling. So the guy who had the diamond, he's walking. The other guy's telling him, you know, you said yesterday you have some diamond, right? You sure you have diamond? So yeah, I have a diamond. Yeah, I have a really big giant diamond. So really you have diamond? Yeah, I have diamond. Yeah. Okay. Again, he waited for the night time. They were taking that. This guy woke up again. Checked all his bags, everything. No diamond. So next day, they're traveling again, you know. Says, you know, you sure you have diamond? Yeah, I know, really, can you show it to me? Says, yeah, he took it out. So look, this diamond. So, wow, man, this is really a big diamond. He showed him. So this is the diamond? Oh, yeah, oh, man, I was just saying, what kind of diamond is that? Okay. Puts it in the pocket, goes. So the next time, man, he works up and checks it all his pocket. Again, diamond is not there. You know? So the next day, you know, as they're traveling, the guy says, you know, where is the diamond? They got to that city, you know. So, you know, you said, where is the diamond? He says, you know, the diamond that you look for it every night, but before I went to sleep, I used to put it in your pocket. I used to put it in your pocket. You look everywhere, but you not check your pocket. The diamond was always in your pocket. So the alim who was giving this example, or human being. It's not like we're on a love of dunya. All of a sudden here has love of dunya. His own Shaykh Al-Bai Naim Sahib in Raiwan, may Allah give him long life, used to give example that we all have love of dunya. When you go to a store, you have two $10 bills, one new one, one old one. You always take out the old one and give it to cashier. That old $10 bill is not 9, and the new one is not 11. We even like the new and old. Love of dunya everybody has. But we are people, we look for our success in other things. But wallahi billahi tallahi, we have the diamond in our pocket. We have Islam. Wallahi, we have Islam. There is nothing more worthy than Islam. Have mercy on yourself. You should follow Islam and give Islam to all these good people around us. Wallahi, they need Islam. So they can have peace of mind also. So they know who Allah is. So they can have peace of mind. So they can have tranquility also. The reason we don't have it because we don't practice Islam. We need to practice Islam, give Islam to these people, because we are making zulm upon these people. We are not giving them the best thing that we have. We take everything from them. Every good thing that they have, we take, but we don't give them the best thing that we have. That is Islam. We need to give them Islam. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua for this ummah. He cried for this ummah. That's why we have to make durood sharif on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to make salat ala nabi all the time, because of the ihsanat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon this ummah. How much he made dua for us? For me and you, he cried. Night after night. We need to make an effort of ours. We bring Islam into our life and bring it to these people. Don't think that you know you need this and that. Sahaba, they didn't have a lot of things. They didn't have a lot of things of this dunya, but they had Allah with them. That's why Allah had them everywhere. When teacher he was showing on the board, he drew on the board 0000, like 10 zeros. And he asked the students, what is the value of all these zeros? He said, no way. If you have 10 zero or 200 zero, they're all zero. Then he put one on the left side of those zeros. Says, what is this now? If you have one on the left side of many zeros, you all can figure it out, right? If there is a 6, there's a million, right? If this is 9, this is almost a billion, right? So if you have left on the left side one and all the zeros on the right, then you have some worth. All of us are zeros, right? We are all zeros. Allah is one. If that one Allah stands by us, if that one Allah stands by us, then we have some value. If that one Allah does not come and stand by us, we could be 1.7 billion or 2 billion, we are all zeros. Allah does not come with disobedience. Allah does not come with disobedience. Man asani wa huwa ya'rifani sallatu alayhi man la ya'rifani. This hadith was told to us by one Sheikh Adil from Saudi. He had come, he said, whoever disobeys me after knowing me, I will overpower them by those who does not know me. We need to go towards Allah. We need to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our life that has been given to us, this is the life that has been given to us to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Life is very short. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Inna dunya aradun hadir. Ya ayuhan nas, inna dunya aradun hadir. Ya'kulu minha al-barr wal-fajr. Wa inna al-akhiratu wa'adun sadiq. Yahkumu fiha malikun adilun qadir. Yuhiqqu fiha al-haq wa yubtilu al-batil. Or kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says this, O people, the life of this dunya is very temporary, very short-lived. And people who utilize, يَأْكُلُ مِنْهَا الْبَرُّ وَالْفَاجِرُ, good people and bad people, those who make shirk, those who don't make shirk, those who drink, those who don't drink, those who gamble, those who don't gamble. Everybody benefits. وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةُ وَعْدٌ صَادِقٌ. But the life hereafter is true promise of Allah. يَحْكُمُ فِيهَا مَلِكٌ. The decision maker on that day is that king. مَلِكٌ عَادِلٌ قَادِرٌ. Who will be just. How could somebody who does not pray salah and somebody pray salah go in Jannah together? شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو. This is one of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Malik because قائما بالقسط. He is just. You obey Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treat you that way. At any given time you must obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Ali radiallahu anhu says, إِرْتَحَلَتِ الدُّنْيَا مُدْبِرًا وَارْتَحَلَتِ الْآخِرَةُ مُقْبِلًا وَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدَةٌ مِّنْهُمَا بَنُونَ فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمَ عَمَلٌ وَلَا حِسَابٌ وَغَدًا حِسَابٌ وَلَا قَمَرٌ وَلَا عَمَلٌ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلِيٌّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. So the life of this dunya, every single day we're leaving behind, and life hereafter we're getting closer and closer to it. Both of them have children, become the children of Akhirah, desirous of Akhirah, do not become the desirous of this dunya, because today, فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمَ عَمَلٌ وَلَا حِسَابٌ. Today is the day of amal, actions, but there is no hisab, no reckoning. But tomorrow, on the day of judgment, it will be all hisab, no amal. فَرْجِعْنَا نَعْمَ الصَّالِحَ. Right? People will say, oh Allah, now we see. Give us one chance to go back and do good deeds. There will be no chance. If you want to be successful, you want to obey Allah, you want to be successful in dunya and akhirah, Allah says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Whoever wishes and desires to meet Allah in such a state that Allah is happy with him, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. This person must do righteous deeds. And do not make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you do this, Allah will give us success in dunya and akhirah. For this, Allah has given us all time. We must follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bring Islam into your life. Bring Islam into your children's life, into your family. And at the same time, make dua for all the non-Muslims. Believe it or not, our forefathers were also non-Muslims. Sahaba made dua, sahaba made effort. If it was to kill them, then we would be no more. That's why it's a proof. Islam was the religion of love and spreading truth and peace. I don't know how many people sitting here is from Makkah and Medina. Is anybody here from Makkah or Medina? Anybody? How far did the Prophet ﷺ go to spread Islam? What was the furthest distance? Tabuk, Bilad al-Sham. That was the furthest point that the Prophet ﷺ went to spread Islam. He did not go beyond that point. How did people, we all became Muslim? Because Sahaba, they were not Anbiya. Tabi'in, they were not Anbiya. They understood their job. That they are Muslims, they must take this gift of Islam to all the people who are worshipping the monkeys, the fire, the tree. No matter what they were worshipping, they brought Islam to us. Our forefathers became Muslim. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have responsibility. We have to spread this deen also. You make niyyah that Allah ta'ala accept this Salt Lake City. We have so many resources here. But if Allah comes with you, then you are successful. Ibrahim al-Sahib called Adhan in a place, there is nothing there, not even a tree. How many people go to Makkah now? We don't look at Asbab. We look at the Rabbul Asbab. Allah is the creator of Asbab. Allah can help you with Asbab, without Asbab, and against Asbab. Allah is Allah. So we have to bring that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make him happy. For this inshallah, 6:45 is something? Where is the food? It was supposed to be right now. Please forgive brothers, you know. Brothers are very hungry. But inshallah, I request all the brothers and sisters, we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each one of us bring deen. Don't think the deen that you understand. Ask your deen from ulama. Don't ask your deen from Sheikh Google. You know why? when you go to Google or internet, you don't know who's sitting behind. They might give you 99 sentences, very sweet and illustrious and good ones, but they put that one sentence poison there. That one sentence, like if you have nice biryani or nice food, and there's a drop of poison put inside, I don't think you're gonna pick it. But you know, after you eat, after 1 hour, you will feel the effect of that poison. When you take your deen from internet and not from a proper alim who has studied, you're taking that poison. Or those, if you go like half a degree from the right path, see, only half a degree, a little bit, you know, just imagine half a degree, you walk another 100 miles. What happens to the half a degree? How far you'll go from the right path? We need to attach ourselves with the ulama. Allah has given an alim here. Big ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hatta it is written, it's from kabair to disrespect an alim. You have to understand, to sit with an alim, even it's ibadah. To visit an alim is ibadah. We have to attach ourselves with the ulama. Ask them for guidance. فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Any issue we have, first obey Allah from Quran, then Sunnah, then we look at Ijma'ah for ulama, and then if not, you go to Qiyas. But when Allah has given an alim, you should go to an alim. Ask him for guidance. Ask him. Because he doesn't quote you from his pocket also. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. What? Ulama, right? Those who have fear of Allah, those who are ulama, who has ilm. Now you know, every ilm is not the ilm that Allah decrees. Because the real ilm is that ilm which brings fear of Allah in our heart. So we attach ourselves with ulama. So all the brothers are requested, inshallah, we should, inshallah, participate in the effort of deen in our masajid. Make an effort, alhamdulillah, those to get education also at the same time. But do not compromise on deen. Follow your deen. Show your deen. Don't hide your deen. Our deen is not a hidden deen. One time I went to laundry. And I was doing laundry. I was wearing this normal salwar kameez. I was 16 at that time. So this one guy came to me, very tall brothers, you know. I didn't know he was a brother at that time. So he's doing laundry. So he looked at me and says, Salaamu Alaikum, Salaamu Alaikum, how are you, brothers? Says, you don't have to wear it like that, he told me. You don't have to wear it like that. Say, yeah, you're right, I don't have to wear it like that. He says, but you say, I have Islamic sign also. I have an Islamic sign. Or, so where is it? Show me. So he put his foot on the machine, he was tall brother. And he pulled his pant up and up and up. And on his thigh, there was a tattoo of a star and moon. So look, this is what Islamic star, I see, I'm Muslim, I right here. I told him, if you put it right here, I would know. But you hide it under the pant, you know, on thigh. We Muslims, we show Islam. We show our Islam. You know, we show our deen. We show our love, we show our compassion. We show to all this mankind. Wallahi, our deen is beautiful. Our deen is beautiful. We have to learn our deen and give this to all these people. May Allah give us all understanding. May Allah give us all tawfiq to obey Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those people who are loved by Allah. If Allah love you and me, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. I will become his ear with which he hears. I'll become his eyes with which he sees. I'll become his hand with which he grabs. Allah says, Allah will help you. Just become of Allah. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Attach yourself to masajid. Try to come to masjid for fajr prayer. When you go to sleep, before you park your car, such, you know what? Minimum, try to park in such a way that you can get up easily. You know, sometimes parking is so difficult. Make it face towards, you know, I can get up quickly, go to masjid. You go sleep with that near to go for fajr. Even if you don't pray fajr salah, Allah will give you the reward of praying fajr in jama'ah. Niyatul mu'min khayr min amalihi. You make near to make a salah in the masjid, Allah will make it easy for you. If you don't make it also, Allah will give you the ajr for that. Attach yourself to masajid. This deen is not the deen of old people. This is the deen of every single person. old, young, everyone. We all have to participate. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. We help each other in good things and in taqwa. We help each other in this. We try to, inshallah, activate all our brothers, inshallah, at the same time. Make niya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your Salt Lake City the center for spreading hidayah. Like it is center for some people to spread darkness. You can make the center of, make this a center of spreading light. Allah can do it. May Allah give us all understanding. We make dua, inshallah.
يا رب يا رب يا رب اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم اهد الناس جميعا اللهم اهد الناس جميعا اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا دائما وقلبا خاشعا وعلما نافعا ويقينا صادقا ودينا قيما ونسألك دوام النجاة من كل بلية ونسألك تمام العافية ونسألك دوام العافية اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداء الدين اللهم انصرنا ولا تنصر علينا اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا اللهم لا تسلط علينا من لا يخافك ولا يرحمنا اللهم اشرح صدورنا للإسلام اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان اللهم ارزقنا شهادة في سبيلك اللهم ارزقنا شهادة في سبيلك اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك واغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب النار اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين
Stay for the food doesn't go to waste, if that finds us.
some very, very beautiful words. Amongst them, one of the stanza is the following: the diamond is in your heart. The diamond? Please, don't go in fragment right now. But the diamond is in your pocket. So, alhamdulillah, Khair Mutisab said, there's no need to go out there and look for other things. Because the other things that you're going to go and look for, it's going to be a deception. And the deception is going to hurt you. Two things I enjoyed a lot about Mutisab's talk was, first and foremost, the value of Allah has to come in each of our hearts, including myself. That the value of that is critical. Because if the value of Allah doesn't come in your heart, then naturally the value of something else is going to come in your heart. Is this a default? That's how humans operate. You cannot be riding two ships at the same time. Either you're on this one or that one. But alhamdulillah, may Allah bless the Shaykh for talking about the value of Allah, and may it become a reality in each one of us. As one of the Shaykh said, to talk about Allah is the right of Allah. To talk about Allah is the right of Allah. This is the haqq of Allah. That's why Allah is called Allah. He's called, in fact, scholars in the past, and in fact, not only Muslims, there was a Jewish scholar that I was talking to as well. He says, scholars of the past, when they're talking about Allah, they will use the word Allah, Muslims and non-Muslims alike. And the Jews actually used to write the word God. They won't write G-O-D, they just put G-D. Why do you write G-D? They would say because the English word of God doesn't do justice to Islam. This is something that we are all very, very much part of, that aspect of Allah. And unfortunately, we let it go away. And the Shaykh, alhamdulillah, today focused on it in a way that makes it a reality for us, number one. And number two, he spoke about something very, very, very important, the Sunnah. Sunnah is called, if you were to translate it to English, a simple way is normative. Normative. What is normative? Normative is, how are you? Good. He didn't say, my stomach is hurting. He didn't say that. I'm sure your body is hurting. But he didn't say that. Right? How are you feeling? Good. Why doesn't he say, I'm tired? I'm tired of you. Every day, every week, I feel you talk. I'm shut up and sit down. He didn't say that to me. That's what his mind will be thinking. But normative is the norm. The norm is, you will be polite. Like in the beginning, I told the brother, at least you memorize the Quran. There's a certain expectation of Quran. I'm sure his mind is thinking, you know what? Islamic outfit, bid'ah, hasanah. All those thoughts will go in his mind. But he didn't say it because normative is what? And you know what? I better just accept for now. So we have a norm within ourselves on how we function. I like picking on students because students are the future. This is going to get it right though. So, Shaykh mentioned something very critical. This normativeness that we do, how are you, I'm fine, are you good, yes I'm good, thank you for offering me food, no, I don't eat now, the meat, all this without. It's part of our norm that we do. All those norms that we are doing, the Shaykh makes a very powerful point. It has to be now placed upon the individual. All that sunnah that we have out there, it has to become an everyday function. It has to become an everyday function. Like when I say, how are you? And you say, fine. Your drinking of water has to be done a certain way. That's what the Shaykh is talking about. When you walk into the masjid, it has to be done a certain way. When you walk out of the masjid, there are certain things you recite a certain way. When you sleep, it's a certain way. Certain du'as you read when you go to bed. When you get up in the morning, there's a certain way you get up. There's a certain thing you do. There's a certain thing you recite. There's a certain way in which you open the tap. There's a certain way in which you wash the tap after you have opened it in case your hand was dirty. There's a certain way in which you wear your clothes. There's a certain way in which you wear your hat. There's a certain way in which you wear your turban. There's a certain way in which you don't wear it. You're not going to wear it when you're combing your hair. All this is considered sunnah. There's a certain way in which you transact. There's a certain way in which you take loans. There's a certain way in which you pay back loans. If you can't loan someone, there's a certain speech you make. When you want your money back, they don't pay you back on time. There's a certain way in which you dialogue. There's a certain way to get married. There's a certain way to get divorced. There's a certain way to begin your marriage. There's a certain way of getting out of your marriage.
All this is sunnah. That is what the Shaykh has talked about. My brother, therefore the Shaykh said, the diamond is in you, in your pocket. And you notice he said, big diamond. We all be focusing on the big diamond. Yes, there's something even bigger with us. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know when the Shaykh was speaking, he was setting up a lot of light bulb. So today we take the aspect of Allah that he spoke about during the khutbah, alhamdulillah, which was magnificent, magnificent, magnificent. He read the ayah on death, essentially. And how are we going to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We've got to return back in the phase of Alastu bi Rabbikum. As the Shaykh said, when the person was asked, Alastu bi Rabbikum, that who is your Allah? Am I not your Allah? Allah didn't say, who is your Allah? Allah could have asked that. What did he say? Alastu bi Rabbikum. Right? When he said, Alastu bi Rabbikum, there is an acknowledgement factor that's taking place. And from an acknowledgement factor that took place up there to here, there was a lot of pollution that came in between. So the environmental guys are right. We've got to clean up the earth, but we also got to clean up this. And once you clean up this, then to answer the question of Marabbu, Ma'adinu, Mahadaraju becomes very, very easy. Who is this individual? Who is your Allah, etc., becomes very, very easy. Again, the Shaykh said it very beautifully. To make this easy for us when we pass away, there is a certain way to function. So, what is we have to remember when we spoke about who is Allah? And the second thing we have to remember and bring into our evidence, into our sequence of living is how to make the Sunnah a reality. How to make the Sunnah a reality. And inshallah, by making the Sunnah, or alternatively, our lifestyle, our norm, a reality in light of the Quran and Hadith, then inshallah, we'll be able to keep that diamond with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the Shaykh, may Allah bless his family, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless his community. He does a lot of work in his community in San Diego. May Allah continue taking work from him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also bless him, because you know, all the examples he used, each one of them, I was taking notes on them, so Shaykh, if you don't mind, we'll be hijacking them. It's amazing how humans are. The hadiths he mentioned, Shaitan is a game. Is it authentic? Is it not? Where is it from? But the examples, we don't say authentic. Yes, we want them. This is human nature. So let's not only stay with the beautiful diamond examples, but let us also take the beautiful hadiths that he has mentioned, the ayah that he has made reality for us, and all those examples, inshallah, keep them in the back of your mind for, inshallah, making the sunnah a reality. Again, finally, may Allah bless the Shaykh, bless his family, bless his students, and we hope to see, inshallah, much more of Shaykh Murtaza also, inshallah, in the future.